Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I'm excited that you've joined me on today, and I'm looking forward to God just tremendously blessing you. On today, our lesson is on faith. We're going to be talking about faith and looking at the scriptures and looking at the Word of God in reference to faith on today. The key verse for today when we're looking at our lesson is going to be found over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses number 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders attained a good report. Let's look at the scripture lesson and where we're going to find our lesson from on today. And also, I'm going to take a moment, too, as well, as to open up the line. And if you would like to give us a call and call in and just share with us some of the things that perhaps God has done for you, the call-in number is 646-378-1469. And that PIN number will be, host PIN will be 12746. So give us a call. Back to our lesson. Let's take a look here. I'm going to be reading in your hearing Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem, and to a place plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they built he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountains on the east of Bethlehem and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Now let's take another look at another scripture, too, I wanted to share. And that's going to be Romans 4. Verses number 1 through 3, and verse number 13. What shall ye say then? Abram, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abram was justified by works, he would have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. And so let's take a look at that righteousness of faith. Faith is one of the greatest qualities of a child of God's life. Faith is the foundation of the inner man that enables the building of hope, love, peace, and all other attributes of life ordered by the will of God. Faith gives hope, meaning, and purpose to all knowledge. It is the fundamental to our relationship with God. The only spiritual ingredient that supersedes faith is charity or love. So we must recognize the importance of faith in our lives and the relevancy of faith. It is one of the highest elements or principles that the child of God must attain. Recognize the Bible said that he that come to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So attached to our seeking God is an award, a reward from God when we diligently seek him. And so our faith, as we will progress in this lesson, you will see the how important your faith is and recognize that that's the key element that the adversary is fighting, the child of God. Let's look here. Let's look at the father of the faithful. Faith produces faithfulness. Abraham's positive reaction to God's call produced faithfulness in his life, caused God to change his name to Abraham, and caused him to know, be known forever as the father of faithfulness. And so that was one of the rewards that Abraham gotten. His name was changed, and everyone knows him as the father of the faithful. So your faith is going to produce faithfulness unto God, which will in turn attach and a reward unto that, your name, your life, your children, and your children's children too. And everyone would know because of your faithfulness. Let's look. Abraham was a native of the Chaldea, and he was of the son of Torah, and he was the ninth generation descendant of Shem, one of the sons of Noah. None of these facts about Abraham, however, made him a faithful follower of the Lord. Rather, he developed his own relationship to God by exercising faith. And I believe that that is so key for us as children of God, that nobody can sever or stop your progress in God, because this is an individual thing that we can develop our relationship with God. It's an individual walk, but yet collectively, because we are part of the body of Christ. But however high as you want to go in God, you can excel because of the relationship that you are establishing with God by exercising your faith. That's the key. Just as it took years for him to get to the place of being able to offer his son Isaac to God, so it takes us some time to mature also, even in our faith. It's a day-by-day walk as we begin to learn of God and trust God, and trusting God even for the things that are precious in our life to give them over unto God. And so our faith is about trusting God. And trust sometimes don't come overnight. It's a progression when we're walking with God, experiencing God, and God communing back with us. Many Christians feel that they have a few talents to offer God. However, they all can be faithful. You may not be a one that has been gifted musically inclined, or maybe even a preacher or exhorter or prophetic realm and things, but everybody have been given the measure of faith. And what we do with our faith is up to us as an individual. And so that's the place where God wants to meet us there, in our place of where we're trusting him and believing him to be who he said he is, and allowing him to be that in our lives as children of God. Let's look at number one, Abraham's call. The call to God, to Abraham, was a call to a place in which he was unfamiliar. It was also a place to separate him from his home country and from his own kindred. It was such a clear call that Abraham knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Abraham exhibited his courage to answer the call of God by obeying the call. It is impossible to separate faith and obedience. Through his obedience, Abraham revealed his faith in God. And that's how we can reveal our faith in God, by obeying him. So faith and obedience, they go hand in hand together. Once God speaks to our hearts, We know without a shadow of a doubt, and we act on what God is speaking into our heart. And what are the things when you're developing your faith? Because I am a woman of faith. I believe that I have the gift of faith and operate in that gift of faith that God has given unto me. But I want to share with you just one thing that you can do on a daily basis to cultivate that faith that God has given unto you. And remember, everybody have a measure of this faith. Some put their faith in their job. Some put their faith in their businesses or their talents. But God is calling us as the children of God to put our faith in him. And how we do that daily is God, you know, first of all, you want to be in prayer, praying and communing with God. Number two, when God laid things in your heart and you feel that this is God laid it in your heart, you begin to cultivate that by saying, God, this is what I feel. I feel as though that you're leading me in this direction, and I'm going to go in this direction. But if it's not your will, God, I give you permission to close the door. God, I feel that this is what you're laying in my heart to do. I'm not really super clear about it, but Lord, if it's not your will, you close the door. You lead and guide me into all truth. So you're constantly in communion with God and inviting God into the conversation and asking God to lead and guide you into all truth. And in that, you cultivating your faith. You saying, God, I trust you enough that you're going to do it. I put all of my confidence in you that you will lead me in that place that you will want me to go. So let's look back. Let's turn back to our lesson again, back at Abraham's call, and let's examine that because it's going to give you greater insight that you can stretch your faith and do things that God has called you to do. For the most foremost call for all people today is the call to salvation. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that they all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. After a person answered a call to repentance, there are many different calls that he needs to obey. When a person obeys God's call upon his life, he or she will exhibit their faith in God who has called them. Many people wrestle with their emotion, not sure what the will of God is for their life. It is not good for a person to move ahead presumptuously before they know that God has called them to a particular work. On the other hand, others know what God wants them to do, but lack the courage or dedication to undertake the task. And sometimes that's where the child of God could find themselves. You know what God's called you to do. You've seen it in the dream. You had the confirmation, and you know it. But sometimes just lacking the courage and the dedication to undertake that task. And so I pray that God will stir your courage and give you the dedication to stick to it and go all the way through what God is having you to go through in order to stretch your faith and be the woman of God and the person that God has called you to do, to exercise your talents and to be the instrument that God is calling you to be. Uncommitted. They pause in indecision, leaving God's call unanswered and their life unfulfilled. And so you can't be indecisive. Either you're going to obey God or not. And you don't want to find yourself caught in between. Am I going to obey God? Am I not going to obey God? And then you're going to allow God's call to become unanswered and unfulfilled in your life. So stop fighting God and just say, Lord, thy will be done. I'm going to go all the way through. I'm going to put courage to it. I'm going to put a dedication to it. And Lord, help by my unbelief. So when you begin to talk to God and tell him about your weakness, tell him about how you feel intimidated and how you feel afraid to do it. And once you begin to tell God those areas and confess them to God, then God is able to help us and equip us and strengthen us to do the thing that he wanted to do. Apparently, there was no such hesitation with Abraham and his walk when God called him. Now, let's take another look. B, we're going to look at Abraham's walk with God. And let's see what you can glean from his walk that will strengthen your walk as a child of God. Abraham was about 70 years old when he, Sarah, Lot, and Terah departed Mesopotamia and traveled to Haran. This was the beginning of a walk with God that would involve many moves. Living in Haran was sufficient until the death of his father, but then God required more of Abraham. So sometimes you get to one place, and then God said, I want more from you. And that's not the end place where I'm going to leave you. So here Abraham found himself that he was at one place, but God was requiring more for him. The scripture said over in Acts 4:7-4, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when this his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein he now dwell. So it is also in our walk with God that we move from one plateau spiritually to another. As we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we progress spiritually and grow in the will of God. Our walk by faith has absolutely nothing to do with the visible goals, nor does it have to do with our emotions. Sometimes we do not understand exactly what God is doing in our lives, know entirely where we're going, or feel the thrill of our emotion being stretched to the limits. Yet the longest journey in the world is begun with a single step. And that is so true. That is the longest journey, is when you just starting out that first step, the step four, and trust God to do what he tells you to do. There are four decisive moves in Abraham walk with God. And so let's look at these four things. And if you need to get your pen and write these things down, because this is your year. And I claim it with you. I touch and agree right now at this moment that this is your year. You're going to take dominion. You're going to claim your year. And this is your season. And I claim it with you that this is your season and time to go to the next level. And I, by the grace of God and through my faith, will say, come on, let's go to that next level. I love the bullshit. Because God is going to do it in your life. So let's look at these principles. Number one, the first move that Abraham took was when Abraham moved to Haran from Ur of the Chaldean. Then the second place was at the death of his father, Abraham, he left Haran and his brother and his family. At that time, he complied with God's call for him to separate from his father's house, and God led him to the land of Canaan. God rewarded him for his faith with a promise that his descendants would possess the land and that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord and worshiped him. Thirdly, when a famine arose, Abraham moved to Egypt, fearful that Sarah's beauty would cause the Egyptian to desire to take his wife. He introduced her as being his sister. Actually, Sarah was Abraham's half-sister, and you'll see that over in Genesis 20 and 12. Fear caused Abraham to misrepresent the truth about his spouse. Thus, his was an imperfect faith. Human weaknesses tries to undermine faith at various times. And Pharaoh was warned of God concerning Abraham being Abraham's wife. Sternly rebuked Abraham for withholding such information, Pharaoh returned her to her rightful position without sinning. And you'll see this over in Genesis 12, 10, and 20. After this, Abraham left Egypt with Sarah, Lot, and tremendous wealth. Let's look at number four. Abraham returned to Canaan and reestablished the worship of Jehovah. Genesis 13, verses 3 through 4. The increased wealth of Abraham and Lot, however, eventually caused contention among their servants, and the separation of the two households. And so this is where we see the separating of Lot. So we looked at the four things. And so God will progressively cause us to move from faith to faith. And in each station, God is going to do something profoundly in our life to take along with us as we progress in faith. Let's look at the next point, Abraham's test. The first test of faith for Abraham came when God called him to leave his home, a country, and his father's house. We can only imagine how he felt, for people are reluctant to trade the known for the unknown. And to leave home and not know where he was going required faith on Abraham's part. And I think that this is the key piece for us as children of God, where sometimes we struggle with God, is when we are called to trade the known for the unknown, or to move into territories or into areas that we have not known or tried before or been there before. But I come to share with you, child of God, that God have already been there before he called you to go there. I must say that again. God have already been there before he calls you to go there. And we must trust that God knows what he's doing, even though it seems like it's the unknown for us. And that's where we send God before us. God, I follow in after you, Lord. Lead me, God, into all truth. Let's look here again. The reward of Abraham's faith was God's promise to him that his lineage would possess the land of Canaan. God promised that his seed would be as the star of heaven in number. Abraham believed what God told him. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to be righteousness, Genesis 15 and 6. 10 years later, Abraham was still childless and living in Canaan. Though Sarah's pleading for Abraham to take alternative action, his faith did waver, and the result was the birth of Ishmael by Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian handmaid. Sarah had convinced Abraham that Hagar was the medium of fulfilling God's promise to Abraham, and Abraham came to believe her. Look how human thinking can muddy the clear-cut plan of God. And sometimes when we look in retrospect, how we have sometimes muddied God's plan even for our lives. But thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy. Thank God for a God. Sometimes we say a God of second chance. Well, some of us, sometimes we are on chance number 25 or chance number 50 or chance number 1,000 and things. But it's his mercy and his grace and things that undergird us as children of God that we can say, Lord, redeem it, Lord, and things. I made the mistake. Help us. Let's look here. There are two people who influence our life, and rightly so, for all people need input from others. However, we should never allow the ideas of others to become a means of bypassing God's plan for our lives. And I'm going to read that again or share that again and think we should never allow the ideas of others to become our means of bypassing God's plan for our lives. We must grab a hold of God's plan and walk out and live out that plan in our life. In the end, we have only an inferior substitute that has been devised by man. As a result of Sarah's plan to substitute Hagar, hatred and ill will and bloodshed and strife have existed because between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac and the promised son, Ever since Sarah went ahead and devised her own plan, we can still yet see the hatred and the different things and the strife that are made up against these two nations. So 25 years after God's promise, Abraham, a son, Isaac was born. Faith superseded the physical in the possibilities. And so here I wanted to stop for just a moment and just to look at that for just a moment and apply that to our lives. Sometimes when God speaks a thing to us, It may not come to pass the first year. It may not come to pass the second year or the fifth year. But look at it. It took 25 years for the promise to come to pass for Abraham and Isaac. And I want us to take note, because I know at one time there used to be a thing, name it and claim it. And I believe that we should name it, and I believe that we should claim it, and I believe that it is so true and things. But if it does not come to pass in the next day or the next month, we must wait on God to bring it to pass. Yes, doing our part, staying faithful to God, being faithful to the things of God, working towards that end, and allowing God to move us and mold us and shape us to that thing. But if we don't see it come to pass right then, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come to pass. And that's where the enemy sometimes can overthrow the children of God. Look what he did to Sarah, because it didn't come to pass. She said, oh, well, my body's getting old. Perhaps maybe it's the handmaid, the younger one, that's going to bring forth the baby. And so she began to devise a plan for God. And we got to put up our plans for God. Stop devising plans for God. God know how to bring it to pass in our lives. But what God is requiring us is to provide him with our faith, to believe that it's going to do it. And that faith is going to supersede the physical realm, our emotional realm, our financial realm, everything in our life, our faith will supersede it if we trust God to bring it to pass. I just felt the miracle right there for your faith, that you just trust God, child of God. God is going to do it. Yes, we should claim it. Yes, we should name it. Yes, because we should have a vision. Write the vision. Make it plain that he that readeth can run with it. All those things are important. But we must trust God to bring it to pass. And to supersede anything, don't believe the report of the enemy, but believe the report of God. If God said it, he's surely able to bring it to pass. So let's look at our lesson. Abraham, probably he fought many mental battles from the time of God's promise until the actual fulfillment of his of that promise. And we must recognize that many times it's the mental battles that we are battling with in our mind. And that's where the adversary comes to overthrow the child of God. You got to tell yourself, I'm trusting God. God is going to do this. I'm believing God got all power in his hand, and he's able. You got to continue to minister to yourself and to your faith that you're trusting God, that God is going to do it, just like he promised. That son will come home. That daughter's life will be changed, just like God promised and showed you in that dream. His greatest trial came, however, when Isaac was a young man. And we'll see that over in the chapter 22 in the book of Genesis. Abraham obeyed God by taking Isaac to Mount Moriah for the purpose of offering him as a burnt offering. During the third day's journey, Abraham had many opportunities to question the purpose of God. After waiting for a long period for the promised seed, why is this? But somehow his faith stabilized him during this trial. He felt sure that Isaac would return with him, even if God has raised him from the dead. So can you imagine? Here God gave Abraham a promise. And have in his hand his son Isaac. And now God is asking for him to sacrifice it. Could you imagine the mind of Abraham? But his faith superseded the things that was going on in his mind. And so it is with us. Our faith has to supersede the thing that's going over on in our mind. Trusting God that God is going to do that thing on our behalf. Let's look here. The divine intervention came when Abraham was about to slay Isaac, and it was a welcome intrusion. God then directed Abraham to offer a ram that was caught by the horns of in a thicket. On the way to Mount Moriah, Isaac had questioned his father as they were, where's the lamb that was going to be sacrificed? And this is what Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together up to Mount Moriah. Indeed, God did provide the sacrifice through the ram caught in the thicket. It was there that God became Jehovah Jireh. The Lord would provide to Abraham. Truly, God will provide when we put our faith in him. God was much greater to Abraham on his return home than going to the mount. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So let's look here. Child of God, it is your faith that is on trial. That's what is being tried. And things, not what's going on in your life of your children, but it's your faith. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to believe that God will do what he said he's going to do right in the midst of all that chaos? Let's go back to our lesson. Every person's faith will be tested to determine whether or not it is built upon scriptural foundation. Did you hear that, child of God? Your faith is going to be tried to see whether your faith is rested upon scriptural foundation. But the trying of our faith is worth more to us than the vast amount of gold. Satan tries to pervert one's sense of value and cause us to abandon our faith. But when we resist him, our faith remains intact, and it is tremendously blessed. And that's what happened to Abraham. And that's why he was able to call God Jehovah Jireh. He was our provider. And so sometimes we have circumstances and situations in our lives where we come out and say, surely, God is Jehovah Jireh. He has provided for his people. He provided for the child of God. Now let's look at the next point in our lesson for today. It calls the demands of faith. So we're going to look at the demand of faith. We looked at the life of Abraham, and now let's look at the demands of faith. There are some requirements that must be met in order to have sound biblical faith. These can be met by young or old, for it is everyone's privilege to have and to use faith. Our faith is only valuable if we use it. I'm going to say that again. Our faith is only valuable only if we use it. Many people's lives have been greatly enriched by faith, while others struggle from one crisis to another, plagued by doubt. Now, we have a choice, child of God. We have a choice to either live by faith or be plagued by doubt. The choice is ours. The Bible said the just shall live by their faith, not be plagued by doubt. So we as children of God, we must learn how to live by faith, biblical faith. Sound faith, trusting in God. So let's look at point number one here. We must believe that God is. Now let's look there. A prime prerequisite is required to get God is believing that he exists and that he exists. When speaking of coming to God, scriptures do not refer to physical distance, but spiritual. The unregenerated person is distant from God spiritually and morally. For he to come to God, he must first believe in him. In order for a child of God or a person to come to God, they must first believe in God. There are many who never come to God for various reasons, but perhaps the foremost in keeping people from God is the denial of God's very existence. That's why people won't come or will not come to God, because they deny God's very existence. And you'll find that over in Psalms 14, verse 1 and 2. It is incredible that a person can behold the system of order in the universe and the magnitude of it and enjoy its benefit and still deny that God made it. Nevertheless, all atheists, agnostics, skeptics, disputers combined cannot thwart the progress of a determined soul reaching God. God rewards those that diligently seek him. Now, as we daily seek God, as we diligently seek him, God is going to reward us. And many times what happens is that we seeking out man, we're seeking out too many other things, seeking out a word, and all we need to do is just diligently seek God. And God will reward you for seeking him. Even when we go to church, we should go looking for God, looking for a word from God, looking for God to speak unto us. When we pick up our Bible, we should read our Bible with a mindset that we're seeking to find God through his own word, a word from God. Fasting and praying, we should begin to even also begin to fast with a mindset to seek out God's will, or seeking God to speak a word. So as we're seeking God through fasting, he's going to reward us. As we're seeking God through praying, God is going to reward us. As we're seeking God through living our life for God, God is going to reward us. So you see how that works, that principle working, that I'm not just going to do this thing just to be doing it, but I'm going to do it because I'm seeking God. And as I do these principles, as I live out these principles, I'm seeking to find God even in his own principle, and God will reward me because I am seeking him in his own principles. Okay, let's look at another thing. We must love and obey truth. Truth is a priceless treasure. Truth set people free, John 8 and 32. Faith enable a person to locate truth, develop a love for truth, and obey truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? While he beheld truth, who was Jesus, face to face. However, he lacked faith to act in obedient love and to submit to God. Listening to the preached word of God increases our faith. Paul the Apostle pointed out the necessity of hearing a preacher who preaches the pure word of God, Romans 10, 14 and 17. It is imperative that we respect, listen to, and act on the commandments of the scripture. To know truth without loving truth opens the door to apostasy and reprobation, Romans 1:21-32. The 12 men in Ephesus loved truth enough to respond obediently when Paul preached the gospel to them. The fact that they have not heard of the baptism in Jesus' name and the coming of the Holy Spirit did not deter their zeal to obey Paul when he preached the gospel to them. Love produces obedience. The proper mixture of preached word and faith were joined with love. It produces profitable living, Hebrews 4 and 2. So we must recognize that love is going to produce obedience. When I love God enough, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Because the love that I have for him is going to cause me to obey his word. Now let's look at the next point. We must live holy. The byproduct of a life of obedience and the love for truth is that the Spirit produces goodness and righteousness in our life. This enables us to renounce our own will to follow the will of God. The result is a holy life, since God is holy. Psalms 99:9. Since we are partners of the divine nature, we begin to resemble our Father in our lifestyle. As we, through our love and through our seeking God and desiring to live holy and righteous before Him, we are going to take on that lifestyle of God. When God tells us not to do something, we're going to stop it. When we feel the conviction in our spirit that, and feel kind of convicted or even condemned in things about something or feel yucky about, I shouldn't have did that. Well, God is saying, no, that's not the lifestyle that I want for you and things. And then we can feel the peace of God when we're moving into that place where God wants us to be. You'll find that over in 2 Peter 1-4. The more we separate ourselves unto God, the less we are inclined to be attracted to things that appeal to the carnal nature. The closer a person becomes to the Lord or comes to the Lord, the more his love and adoration for God grow. Abraham probably loved God far more after his test of faith at Mount Moriah than before. The more experiences we have with God, the greater our desire to please him. Those who only have an initial encounter with God through receiving the Holy Ghost and who never pursued a constant relationship with him are often reluctant to give up some of the earthly pleasure. So the more we come closer to God, the more it's easier for us to give up those earthly things that God wants us to give up in our life. Separation unto God automatically leads to separation from the world. On the other hand, people who love themselves more than they love God have a difficult time trying to live for God. In fact, they cannot live for God without denying themselves and taking up their cross and following Jesus Christ daily. Faith in gospel makes salvation possible. When a person through faith obeyed the word of God, God's righteousness is imputed to them. Get that, child of God. God leads him from one plateau of faith to another. Faith without work is dead being alone. James said that over in James 2:17. When a person's relationship with God becomes stagnated, faith is dying or has died or is dead. There is no place to stand still in God. As a person progresses from one level of faith to another level of faith, their understanding grows. So we're constantly going from faith to faith. Every test or every relationship or every experience that we have with God is taking us from faith to faith to faith. Look at David. He had to slew the bear and the lion in order for him before he could slew the Goliath. The giant. And so it is in our life. We go from our bear experience to our lion experience so that we can conquer the giants that are in our lives. With spiritual enlightenment, he sees things in a truer light. How God feels about things become all important to an individual. Fleshly desires no longer matter. Laying aside our carnal desire and seeking to possess God's desire and bring in a progressive sanctification to our life because we're seeking God. We want to please God. Faith starts inwardly and works outwardly, which reflects in one's behavior and even in the way we dress. Faith does that because we obey God and we want to bring glory and honor unto him. Now, let's look at a couple of other things before we end our session today. Let's look at the result of faith. Number one, salvation in Christ. Salvation is the act of saving or being saved, a state of being saved, the deliverance of the soul from sin and death. According to one dictionary, salvation is freely offered to all men, and faith is the vital link between the lost humanity and salvation in Jesus Christ. To the unregenerated person, it is incredible that a sinful life that is stained and tarnished and unproductive can be cleansed and regenerated so that a person has a new life without guilt and without the dominion of sin. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 14, Romans 6, verse number 1 and 4. Yet this is exactly what occurs when we experience salvation. Repentance empties our vessel of sin and unrighteousness. Now, can I say that again? Repentance, it empties out our vessel of sin and unrighteousness. Water baptism, in that name of Jesus, it wash away our sin. Acts 22, verse number 16. I want you to catch that. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is the receiving of Christ in our life, in that vessel that have been emptied out, and that that vessel that has been washed and cleansed is now holding the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. It is our hope of glory. See Colossians 1 and 27. Salvation is the greatest experience a person can receive in this world. The Old Testament prophecies of the New Testament salvation stirred the emotion and aroused the curiosity of those prophesying. Even the angels wanted to investigate the salvation experience of the Holy Ghost. And you'll see that over in 1 Peter, verse number 1. Chapter 1, verse number 9 through 12. So we looked at salvation as a result for faith. Let's look at healing. Another result of faith is healing of the body and the mind, as well as the spirit. Isaiah 53 and 5 will say that. The healing which God spoke of through the prophet Isaiah is not limited to salvation of our soul, but also the spirit and the body of the person. Although our bodies will not be redeemed from corruption and death until the rapture, we still experience physical healing today by faith. And I believe financial healing. I believe emotional healing, psychological healing. All these healing come forth by faith. God wants to heal our finances. God will heal our credit report. I believe that God will do that. Apply faith to it. Apply the blood of Jesus. Repent of the bad decisions that we made and being bad stewards so you can empty out the sin and unrighteousness, even in our financial realm and things, and say, Father, you come in the name of Jesus, and you heal that and things, and allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you into the truth of the principles of financial blessings for your life. Isn't that profound, child of God? Grab a hold of that and let God heal it everywhere. Go get your credit report. Pull all three of them. They're free. Go get them and things. Ask God to show you how to read them and things, and clear off your credit report so you can be financially sound and whole well in that area of your life as well. Let's look at another area of deliverance. Faith for deliverance. It's that faith brought about deliverance to Isaac when he submitted himself to be the sacrifice. Faith caused the parents of Moses to hide him from 3 months when he was born, in spite of the king's decree that all male Israelites be thrown into the river. The faith of Moses' parents took care of him in infancy. When Moses was grown, faith delivered him from the king's palace to his rightful palace place as the shepherd of the people of Israel. Faith delivers Paul and Silas from the prison at Philippi, and they were able to lead the jailer to salvation experience in Jesus Christ. Many people today have gloriously set free from the bondage of drugs, from the bondage of alcohol and tobacco. Others were bound by lies, bitterness, deception, lust, greed, and envy, and countless other evils, are now singing the wondrous praise of God. Through faith, there is deliverance available for everyone who has any form of physical or spiritual bondage. There is still deliverance for the people of God and those that don't know God. Deliverance is available. Now, let's look at another result of our faith is endurance. One cannot explain why some of the faithful of God did not receive the miraculous deliverance, but in their instance, The grace of God gave them the strength to endure their particular trial. It may seem strange to us that the same Lord who delivered Paul and Silas from prison would allow James to be beheaded. We know that God is no respecter of persons. John the Baptist sent his disciple to ask if Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus' reply was that his work included opening the blinded eyes, causing the lame to walk, cleansing the leper, and causing the deaf to hear, raising the dead to life, and preaching to the poor people. These fulfill prophecy concerning himself. Yet John lavished in prison and was later beheaded. And Jesus said John was greater than any other prophet in the Old Testament. Although the Lord chose not to deliver John, he did supply him with grace sufficient to endure even unto the end. So isn't that profound? God sometimes allow us to go through things in our lives, but guess what? He's going to allow us the grace to endure whatever comes our way. Let's look at joy from the Lord. Faith in the preached word of God brings joy to us as we believe and obey it. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that possessed with them. And many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Acts 8. 5 through 8. The faith of the people in the gospel called them to turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus. They were also filled with joy, which they saw the miracles and healing and deliverance. Although it was not recorded that their joy became greater when they received the Holy Ghost. See Romans 14 and 17. It was not pleasing to God for his people to be weak, unhappy, oppressed, and defeated. Now, we must recognize God do not want us to be weak, unhappy, oppressed, and defeated. With joy, we are able to draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that's why we as children of God, we leap for joy. God said, if you don't have joy, start leaping for joy. Joy is going to come as we leap. Now, let's look at the next point. I want to finish this up because this is some good stuff. It's that more valuable, God supplies our needs by faith. More valuable than security, faith is better than money in the bank. I'm going to say that again. Faith is better than money in the bank. At the height of a great famine in Israel, Elijah the prophet was fed by the raven. After the brook dried up, God told him to go to Sepharvaim. For there he would be sustained by a widow. Upon the arrival, he discovered she was gathering sticks to cook at least the last bit of meal and then wait for death. In this extremely dark moment, Elijah told her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son." 1 Kings 17 and 13. This was not a selfish request on the part of the prophet, but an expression of faith in the ability of God. The meal barrel or the cruse of oil was never filled, but there was always enough for more cakes for the duration of the famine. Elijah, the widow, and her son ate of the provision for many days. It took courage and faith for the prophet to command to use that last of the meal and oil. And it was faith in the words of the prophet that moved the women to obey. But the combined faith of Elijah and the woman allowed God to provide for their need. You see how that provision made, child of God. God still provides for us today. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 19, the same God is making those same provision for his people. Now let's look at heaven. Last, but by no means least, faith makes possible access to heaven. The dead in Christ will be resurrected and caught up together with those who are alive in Christ, and they all will be forever with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 and 17. John the Revelator described the future home of those who are in Christ, the New Jerusalem. The description found in Revelation 21 contained many beautiful promises of God's child. Among the things that will not be there are death, sorrow, pain, and crying. The river of life, the tree of life, and the river of life will be there to enjoy by all present. The Lord himself will be the light for the entire city, and there will be no night. Satan lies and tells us that we cannot make it to the eternal home, but faith shouts from our soul saying that God's grace will get us there. Amen. Amen. Let's look in closing. The faith of Abraham sustained him all through his life. His response to God's call was positive. Abraham, the walk of Abraham through his life journey was one of obedience. The trying of his faith was more precious than gold. Though a severely tested, his faith stood still and firm on the promise of God. There are some biblical requirements for faith to be sound. Faith that is distorted or perverted by deception or false doctrine result in harm both to the possessor of it and to everyone who has been influenced by it. A clear concept of Jesus Christ as the Almighty God manifested in the flesh is vital to true faith. Then we must believe and obey the gospel. By faith, we are to live a holy lifestyle. Faith reaches us to God and opens our hearts to receive the good thing he has promised to us, especially the wonderful salvation in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you shout hallelujah? Shayalaboshan. Faith in God today, child of God. I want you to keep your faith in God and keep on trusting God. It's by your faith. I don't care what your bank account is saying. I don't care what your body is saying. I don't care what the report the enemy is saying. It's your faith that is going to see you through. All things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe that God is, God will be that for you. He will be your sustainer. He will be your deliverer. He will be your refuge and your guide. Put your trust in God, not in your circumstance, not in your situation, and watch God bring you out with a mighty outstretched hand and testimony of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to say, child of God, it has been a pleasure being with you on today, and I know that God has blessed you and elevated your faith. Reach out and claim that thing that God has already promised. He's your provider. Trust him. Trust in the word of the prophet. Trust in the word of the Lord, and watch God bring it to pass just by your faith. Amen. That's your corn seed. That's your money. That's your $1 million. That's your $50. Your faith in God will bring it to pass. And so in my closing, I just pray that God will strengthen your faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. How can they hear unless they've been sent? How can they be sent unless they've been called by God to speak a word? And my voice, child of God, is a voice crying in the wilderness, making way this path straight for the Lord, that he may speak a word to feed his people through this airline. And so I pray that you've been blessed, and I pray that God will undergird and fortify you this day as you join us again on tomorrow as we come to you with another lesson to give you the word of the Lord that you can live victorious through these moments of empowerment. I pray that your spirit will be empowered through the word of the Lord. It's my prayer. Remember, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one prayer away. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Is my prayer. Thank you for allowing me being in your home today. May God richly bless you. Please join or visit my website at www.shekinahglorytabernacle.com and visit our website. May God richly bless you until we meet on tomorrow is my prayer. God bless.